Give me that phone. Devon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now it's time to go in the post with Devon Givens on your home for 76ers basketball, 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 10:36 on a Tuesday night following Sixers basketball. So you know what time it is. It's time to go in the post on this Tuesday night as we break down the Sixers win, 115-106 on this night. A fantastic win and arguably now the best win of the season, all things considered. Welcome to the show. We'll hang out with you tonight until midnight. We'll give out the phone numbers as you leave the arena, 610-632-0975. Sixers take on the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow, beginning at 7 o'clock here on the Fanatic. So, another opportunity to pick up yet another victory, get into another good groove. You have the Hornets on Wednesday. It's not going to be easy because it is second night of a back-to-back and you are still shorthanded. However, if you look at what they did tonight and play off of that type of playbook of how they were able to get things going against this Brooklyn Nets team tonight, they should really be in the mix tomorrow for yet another victory against the Charlotte Hornets and then travel to Orlando for a two-game series in Orlando on Friday and Sunday against the Magic. So, listen, let's start it off. Look, first 10 points of the game, first 12 points of the game, things look kind of bleak because of the activity that was happening on the other end of the floor for the Brooklyn Nets, where Nick Claxton just scored wherever he wanted in the paint. Ben Simmons had three assists very quickly, and Kevin Durant got a bucket. You also had, or Kyrie Irving had a bucket, and things looked pretty easy for them with no Joel Embiid. It was, I wrote it in my notes. It was the very first thing I wrote in my notes. The absence of Embiid is evident, and you could see it right away that there is no resistance in the paint, that these guys are just attacking the paint, and they're like, hey, we can get whatever we want with no big fella down there protecting the rim. So they took that timeout. They got things going, and they figured something out where it wasn't as easy. And the Sixers came back and won that quarter 33-26. The Philadelphia 76ers did 33-26. Think about that comeback that they had, and to be able to turn things around the way that they did in that first quarter and carry that momentum throughout the remainder of the game, just remarkable. And they ended it up, first of all, to tie it up at 14 apiece. They went on a 12-4 run, right? That's easy. We know right there of what they did. So that was easy. 12-4 run, 14-14 after Milton hit a three to tie the score at 14 apiece. Then the final bucket, 33-24, where Milton made the nice baseline jumper, real smooth, knows how to get to a spot. He has a long wingspan, get the shot off. Really good shot there. 15-6 run for them to close out that quarter. They're up 7 after 1, and you see how it happened. You're listening to Tom McGinnis lay it out for you on the radio, and you're watching it also, and maybe you guys were in the building. I see a lot of you who already left the arena giving us a call, and you see it, and you're like, how did that happen? And I know they made threes. I'm not saying that. I know how it happened, but it was more of, how did that momentum change so quickly? Well, they did not turn the ball over. They protected the basketball, as we mentioned during the postgame show. No turnovers in the first quarter. Brooklyn had three, leading to 6 points for the 76ers. They also made their three-pointers where Brooklyn did not. They were 0 for 3. The Sixers were 5 for 8. So they had something going there, and they made it happen. How about this, too? It was 16 points in the paint for Brooklyn in that first quarter. We know why. We talked about the quick 10 that they had right away. Sixers had 12 very fast also in that once they settled down and got things going. Second chance points. The Sixers had 11 second chance points in the first quarter because of their activity on the offensive glass. Let me tell you how many that was. 6 offensive rebounds in the first quarter to 0 for the Brooklyn Nets. So they had no second chance opportunities to the Sixers 11. And Montrezl Harrell had 4 offensive rebounds in the first quarter. No defensive rebounds. 4 offensive rebounds in the first quarter for his 6 points. He made his 2 free throws also. He was 2 for 5 from the floor. Harris had 4 points. 6 for Melton, who had 2 threes. 7 for Milton. and including a three-pointer. Three assists between those two in the backcourt. And then you have 5 points for George Niang off the bench, three for Furkan Korkmaz, two for Paul Reed, and now we're cooking. And that's how things got started in the first quarter. They turned it around because of their effort and activity on the glass, and that was one of the weaknesses of the Brooklyn Nets coming into this game. They are one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA, and the Sixers took advantage of that, and we talk about it. When you're shorthanded, you're missing 10 rebounds in your starting lineup from just your big man in the middle, you're going to need everybody else to step up and do their part. So, keys to the game are always, for this team in particular, protect the ball. Put a body on somebody on the defensive end, and not allow them to get offensive rebounds, but also to give your effort and the want to, knowing that if they're going to be slacking off, if they're going to be a bit lazy on that defensive end, you can just simply go around guys. You know, the position is there. They'll have their, all right, they think they're there. They think you have you boxed out. They're not really boxing you out. They're just there. You just maneuver around them, get your body in front of them, snatch that board, and go back up or kick it out and reset things. And just the want to of getting that basketball. And that's what they did by turning it around in that first quarter. Points in the paint, not too far off. Second chance points and three-point makes were big. And they had 12 more shot attempts in the first quarter. Think about that. They got off to a very, very fast start. Brooklyn did. And they were up 10-2. Yet the Sixers ended up with more field goal opportunities than them in the first quarter, a plus 12, 17 for Brooklyn, 29 for the 76ers, because they simply wanted it more on the rebounding side of things. Then you just simply overall start to look at the whole outlook of it all. Paul Reed coming off the bench. While Montrezl Harrell did that part early on, Paul Reed comes in, the only double-double of the night. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 5 of them on the offensive side for Paul Reed. He was 7-for-9 from the floor, made 5 of his 6 free throws. He didn't look like he was scattered all over the place like he can look sometimes, right? Where he's just running around and you're like, slow down, my man. You got time. You're out there. I know you want to show them that you need to be on the floor, but slow down. Hang in there. He also gets 3 steals and 2 block shots. His activity was tremendous tonight against this team. Nick Claxton is that same type of player. He outworked him. He outworked the others that were there that were playing the 5 spot. Ben Simmons, who we know will get on the glass. He had 7 rebounds, 2 offensive, 5 on the defensive side. He outworked everybody tonight, and trying to force the hand of Doc Rivers and the coaching staff of giving him some more minutes. Off the bench, you get 16 from George Niang. His activity, his shot making, his trash talking to Kevin Durant after making buckets. He was just out there having fun. We know he's an instigator sometimes, but he also makes his shots, and he did so tonight. He is on a really good run right now, coming off the bench with his point production for the 76ers with the 16. He made 4 of his 5 three-pointers tonight, also giving you 5 rebounds. Then you go to the starting lineup. 24 for Harris, who starred in the second half with his 18 points. He only has 6 at the break, 18 in the second half, tweaked his ankle in that third quarter, and seemed like once Kevin Johnson went in the back and taped his ankle up and rubbed some dirt on it, whatever he did, and he came back out there, he went off. He wanted the ball. He called for the ball. They gave him the ball. He scored the ball. Very simple, right? Call for it, get it, score it. Done. 24 points for Tobias Harris on 10-for-21 shooting. He shined really big in the second half for the Sixers. De'Anthony Melton set the tone in the first half with his shot making, going for his 22 overall, but he had 14 at the half, made 4 threes at the break, 2 more in the second half. He was tremendous. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, that 1 block shot where he pinned it off the glass. I can't even remember. I think it was Seth Curry trying to go to the lane and finish, and he pinned it off the glass. 22 points for Melton, 16 for Shake Milton. Real steady, under control, took some decent shots, didn't do it like we've seen Shake sometimes, just on his own where he had to do it all by himself. No, he had a team-high 5 assists, 6 boards, right? No, only one turnover, and that was, as Tom said, as he dribbled out the clock with under 30 seconds to go, took the shot clock violation. He had no turnovers tonight. 7 for 14, 2 for 3, and 36 minutes of play tonight. The starters were tremendous. The bench was tremendous. Furkan Korkmaz with 9, so they would have been a 6 double-figure score for the Sixers tonight if Furkan made it into the double digits there. And just overall good minutes from everybody tonight for the Sixers. They rebounded. They made shots. They shared the ball. The ball movement, while the assist number wasn't very high, 19 on 43 makes, we know that they were just snapping the ball. And once the ball did find them, they would move. A couple of extra dribbles, yes, to not allow that to be a statistical assist. But we know it was basically the hockey assist leading to that play to allow it to happen the way that it did. This was a tremendous win. We were coming in, and again, thinking losing 3 more of 77 points in your starting group, how are they going to get this one done? They found a way to get it done. Hats off to Doc Rivers and the coaching staff for the job that they did this evening and finding a way to make sure that they got a W tonight against this Brooklyn Nets team. Ben Simmons, 11 and 7 boards on the night. Played all right. You know, typical stuff that he does. 3 steals, 3 block shots. It was Ben Simmons tonight. Played all right. They got the loss, though. 6 players in double figures. They walk away with the L. Sixers now 9-8. In their 5-game homestand with 4 wins. Tremendous homestand. And now they go on a row for 3 here against the Charlotte Hornets on Wednesday. 2 against Orlando before they come back to Philadelphia next Monday for the Atlanta Hawks. Big win. Want to talk to you about it. What stood out to you? Great job by the Sixers. Great job by Doc Rivers and the coaching staff with what they did with their lineups. I thought that would be the starting lineup. Montrezl Harrell did well in this 15 minutes. Paul Reed start at that 5 spot for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. So the number is 610-632-0975. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to hear from Tom Alvord, get his thoughts on things. Also to find out what he thought about things tonight with this game. So 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. We start off in Phoenix tonight. Big win for the Sixers. Great coaching job by Doc Rivers and his staff as the Sixers win by 9 at home, knocking down the Brooklyn Nets. Let's go to Mitch and start things off. We'll get to everybody else. If you're leaving the arena, again, it's still in your car. 610-632-0975. Let's go on the post out in Phoenix with Mitch here on 97.5. What's up, Mitch?
My man.
How you doing, man? Big win.
You know, I don't want to burst your bubble. I mean, I enjoy
it. No, don't. Season. Big win.
I know. Big win. Big, big win, but a little fishy.
How's it fishy? How's your fishy?
I'll tell you how it's fishy. When you have a full boat of the Brooklyn Nets, okay, when you have Irving there, you have Durant there, and you have their cast of characters, and then you've got our team that's missing either 3 or 4 starters, thankfully it was only 3, there is no way you can't say that game wasn't fishy.
I am going to sit here and tell you the game wasn't fishy. It's basketball. It happens. Sometimes you outwork guys and you play better than them, and that's what they did.
And then the
coach, and made shots.
And then the coach of the Brooklyn Nets decides, well, I'm going to take Durant out of the game because we have another game tomorrow night.
Well, they were losing. The game was over. They were going to lose that game, Mitch. Not tonight. Not tonight, Mitch. That was a good win, man. Everything isn't perfect, but there was nothing fishy about the win by the 76ers tonight. That was a really good win by this basketball team. Let's go to Derek in West Philly next here on 97.5 in the post. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Devon? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good, man. A good win.
I'm be honest with you. That was a good win, and I'm usually critical. I'm usually calling in, chewing up Embiid, right?
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And, you know, but I'm going to have to say kudos to the young guns because, you know, the boy Yang remind me of almost like Reggie Miller, almost, if he get a little better. Because he likes to talk, and he hit some threes, and he's consistent. He's getting better at it. And Milton is a real smooth guard. I like the guard.
Well, I like George too, but he's no Reggie Miller.
No. Ain't nobody no Reggie Miller. That's why I was hesitating when I said you're right. And thank you for that correction. You know what I mean? But, you know, Yang is starting to come up, you know, starting to make a difference a little bit. You know, not just, you know, 6 and 9 points, but he's starting to get more consistent. But
yeah, he's been on a, pretty good run, George has. He's been on a really good run with the numbers that he's been putting up consistently. Right now in the season, he's averaging 9 points a game. He's shooting from three, which we know is really where he thrives. He's shooting 42.7% from three-point range, Derek, on the season. That's really good. And he shoots close to six a night.
Yeah.
So the way that he's been playing the last five games, let me give you his numbers. They win these games, but he had low point totals. 4 against Atlanta, 5 against Utah. But let me give you the last three where he really shined. 17 against Milwaukee, 15 against Minnesota, and 16 tonight against the Brooklyn Nets.
He can't complain about that.
You cannot. You cannot.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting better. But, you know, the boy Paul was nice, too.
Paul Reed, a double-double, man. Listen, hats off to Paul Reed.
Good, man. Yeah. Hats off, for real talk. But, you know, they put a light. I think they put a fire under Tobias Harris. I really think that. I think the young guns, I think, like, Tobias is, like, playing more. He's not a four. He's not the fourth scorer now. He's more like the second or the first. I like it, man. I just keep it up.
Yeah.
Coast a good game. I love it, man.
But see, this is where Doc Rivers, this is where he'll be tested. Because, look, Paul Reed is not going to play like that every night, Derek. Listen, thanks for the call, man. If I don't speak to
you, bro.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, man. Thank you.
God bless you and your family.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate that. Thanks, man. So, Paul Reed, listen, this is what we talked about last season. This is where we will go, like Mitch was talking about. This is the only fishy part that we would say, but not really, because I understand where Doc Rivers is coming from for some of it, but not all of it, because he needed to make sure that at the time, Bassey and Reed maybe got some minutes to see where they were. He did talk about publicly how they weren't necessarily giving them what he wanted in practice, which we know practice leads to minutes on the floor in games based on what you do. But you want to see if these young guys, Isaiah Joe, Paul Reed, Charles Bassey, if they do some things to allow you to say, okay, let me call you a number, give me 3 minutes, let me see what you got. And sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, at least in our eyes. They were the one making the calls. They didn't insert Paul Reed or Charles Bassey or Isaiah Joe. Two of them are no longer here. One is with Oklahoma City, the other San Antonio. Paul Reed tonight, the 19 and 10, double-double. This is now going to force, because he was so good. Yes, the stats were there, but the main thing was, with his energy level, it wasn't a negative for him where he would pick up, let's say, 3 quick personal fouls, commit 3 quick turnovers, do some silly things like that, rush some shots where he's too excited, not under control, too jittery, and now it's working against him. He basically did everything right tonight, Paul Reed did, with his 19 and 10. 3 steals, 2 block shots, 2 turnovers in 31 minutes and 13 seconds. When you talk about Paul Reed playing that high number of minutes, you're also talking about the possibility of a high turnover number and some personal fouls. He had 1 foul tonight. Paul Reed, 1 foul. That's really good. So, what does that mean going forward? I don't know. But with an opponent like Charlotte up next and their roster, I can see where there will be minutes for Paul Reed. With an opponent like the Orlando Magic, their length, their activity, Wendell Carter, Mo Bamba, Franz Wagner that they have. They have some lengthy athletic guys on that Orlando Magic team where you need to match that. Like when we talk about Miami and Toronto, where at the time Andre Drummond or Dwight Howard would not be that type, or DeAndre Jordan, you lean more towards Paul Reed and Charles Bassey because of their length, their athleticism, the activity, their rim running ability. You use them against those types of teams. It worked out tonight because they don't have a real five here against the Brooklyn Nets. That's their problem. Paul Reed played well. Same deal tomorrow, where you're going against the Charlotte Hornets now, who they have they have some young bigs now who can move a bit and can do some things off the bench. And right now, you talk about Mason Plumlee. That's one. P.J. Washington, you know about him. Big body, can also step out, hit a jump shot. Kai Jones, super athletic. Jalen McDaniels. Nick Richards, who had some success against the Sixers last season in his rookie season. Mark Williams. They have some young athletic guys who can get busy on the low block and run and use their athleticism. This is a game where you look at Paul Reed and see if he can do it on the second night of a back-to-back. Also, Montrezl Harrell going against his former team. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to have a little bit more than the 15 minutes that he had tonight in the starting role for the Philadelphia 76ers. So, give out the numbers once again, 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight following a big win by the 76ers. No Embiid, Harden, or Maxey. Harris and Korkmaz back in the lineup, and they play really well in their roles this evening. A game-high 24 for Tobias Harris. An impressive win for your home team as they close out their five-game homestand with a 4-1 record through the five, beating Phoenix, Atlanta, Utah, and now tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. Tough loss, three-point loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were in that one also. They did not win it. They got this one tonight before they hit the road on the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow against the Charlotte Hornets. Let's go to Karate Mark, who was at the game to witness this big win in the post with us here on 97.5. What's up, Mark?
Ooh, it's a vine. My bro.
Hey, man, set it up for us. Take us in the building.
Yo, couple things. Like, first of all, I do not believe tonight's game determines the outcome of the Sixers and Brooklyn if we were to face each other in a seven-game series. But, Devon, sometimes you just can't argue your gut. I woke up this morning, and I swear to God, the first thing I did this morning was call my mom and say, yo, mom, the bench is going to smoke the Nets tonight. So me and mom bet a beer on it tonight. Mom, you owe me a beer. I can't give you any logical reason why, but it's just something inside that you feel sometimes. And that this story has been written before. National game, the favorite team just don't show up and the underdogs ball out. And boy, let me tell you, that bench, they showed up tonight.
Yes,
and
they did.
It was just awesome, awesome. And I got to give it to the crowd, the Philly fans. They showed up tonight. Like, let me tell you, every time the tall bull from Australia got the ball, it was just...
Every time you can hear it through the radio, man. Every single time.
The funniest part of tonight, the best part of tonight, you know, say, you know, three offensive players involved with the ball. I got the ball. I dish it to one guy, number two. Number two dishes it to number three right away. So Ben was number two, right? And the crowd was just so used to booing him every time he got the ball that literally on one of the plays where Ben had the ball in his hand for like three quarters of a second, there was 25,000 people like, boo! And tried to start the boo, but he even had the ball in his hand long enough to finish the entire boo. Just, oh my God.
And he got you guys some chicken.
Yo, everybody eats for free tomorrow in Philly. Devon, we've been to a lot of games, bro. Tonight was awesome. I had to call you right away. Go Philly. Go Phillies fans. Go Sixers. Go bench. Go Melton. Go Reed. Tobias. Hell yeah.
Great win.
What a night.
Great win.
What
great, man.
Night.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, man.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Everybody hang tight 1 second. Want to make sure we let you know you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight here as we go in the post. 610-632-0975. Huge victory over the visiting Brooklyn Nets. Send them home. They have a game tomorrow also as they will get ready for their holiday, taking an L from the Sixers tonight. Let's go back to the phones, 610-632-0975. Yes, tell us how things were in the building like Mark just did as far as the Ben Simmons experience. Played all right, 11-11-7. Played all right. Seemed like he was, you know, not too nervous as they got off to a very good start. But after a while, it was just too much, and you guys just did what you did. Can't tell me. Like Tom said, can't tell me you guys didn't play a part in this victory tonight. Dave on the cell next, going in the post. What's up, Dave?
Hey, man, listen. We came in here tonight. The Philly fans are ready. We came in here. We know we're ready to boo Ben Simmons, and that's what we did.
Absolutely.
You know what? He fought us in the first half when we came in. We came in, we were ready. In the second half, we shut him down. Completely shut him down.
Yeah, what was it? What was the difference?
You know what? I think the difference was, you know, we put some pressure on him. You know, like Ben Simmons, just like the Atlanta Hawks series. He folded when the pressure came to him. He didn't know what pass to make. He didn't know what to do. The Nets didn't know what to do. Sixers fans came out. They had the support of the crowd. And we came out and we made a statement. We're ready to face them in the playoffs, yo. This ain't no joke. This ain't no joke. We're ready to win the East.
Well, it's 17 games in. I don't know if they're ready to win the East, especially when you don't have your three guys, Dave. But I appreciate and love the enthusiasm of it all, especially towards Ben Simmons. But look, he only had three turnovers tonight. He had 11 points, 11 boards, 11 assists, 7 rebounds. And in the second half, I think he only had 2 in the second half.
Exactly.
Overall, let me check my numbers here.
The pressure comes to him, and that's what we're going to.
He had 2 points in the second half in 17 minutes with 6 assists. All right, thanks for the call, man. Listen, go ahead and go at him, but I want a good phone call though when you're talking about what he did or didn't do. I'm not going to say he folded in the second half. He wasn't as aggressive in the second half. But Kevin Durant was 3-for-7, 6-for-11 for Kyrie Irving. And again, we cannot just ignore how well the Sixers played in general with protecting the basketball, making their three-pointers, getting on the offensive glass. And while there was only a +3, the Sixers in the second half overall, I mean, it helped out that they were a +6 after 2 to go along. You know, with the +3 to give him 9-point win once again tonight, 106 over the Brooklyn Nets. 610-632-0975. Glenn in Philly checking in with us here, going in the post on this Tuesday night. What's up, Glenn?
What's up, Devon? Once again, Eric, when I call you, your nephew, little cousin, is always playing. What's up with that, man?
I mean, they got the second night of the doubleheaders tonight.
It's crazy.
I haven't even checked the score. I know they're down 2 at the half, but I haven't even checked the score to see what's
going on. Yeah.
Let me peek since you said something. He has 16, which is a game high right now at the break.
Yeah, he's balling. Yeah, I'll tell you what Ben did wrong before I get into my point. I mean, what happened with the Australian. And I kept texting my thread. I'm like, why is Melton leaving his man to go double Ben? Ben, what he does, we all know, he drives. The moment you give him some resistance, he turns his back and looks for the pass. And that's what he was doing in the first half, in the first quarter, which got him on a roll. Melton then stopped leaving his man, and the other guard stopped leaving his man to go cheat, and you forced Ben to make a move in the post. And that's where he's going to melt. And that's exactly what happened. He has no jump hook, no footwork. He's horrible in the post. So that's what made the difference of the first half and the second half.
Okay. All right.
Now, to my point with B-Ball Paul, he must lead he has to lead the league in steals per second. Every time he comes in a game since last year, whether he's on the floor for 3 minutes or 20 minutes, he gets steals. Always gets his hands in the cookie jar. You got to keep him on the floor. Like I said before, you got to play him with Joel. Let the kid learn on the job training. Don't yank him early when he makes a mistake. Let the kid play. You're going to need him down the stretch, just like last year.
Yeah.
You're going to need him down the stretch.
I think he helped his case tonight for the coaching staff overall to see what he is capable of. And going forward, seeing what he can potentially do when they do call his number. I think he helped himself tonight.
I hope so. P.J. Tucker point and a Matisse Thybul point.
Sure, yeah.
P.J. Tucker, he's killing me down on that dunker. He needs to be, you know how Giannis was shooting his free throws when everybody was leaving the stadium the other night?
Yeah.
P.J. Tucker needs to be shooting three-pointers, but he needs to be shooting that little floater, and he needs to work on that. Over, that's going to hurt us. I'm telling you, it's just like having Ben out there. He's going to hurt us deep in the season. He has to work on that.
His defense is so good, you can't take him off the floor.
You can't. That's why I said he's going to hurt us. He has to make those bunnies.
He does, and he struggled tonight. He knew it. He missed his shots tonight. I think he had 6 attempts. He was 0 for 6. Yeah, 0 for 2 from deep, and those in close, like that very first one he had, I was like, whoa, you know, that's his shot. He makes that little shot put, that little push shot he makes there in the lane. He normally gets that, and he gets a lot of those looks, especially with James Harden out there. But tonight he has some good looks, I thought, and you're right, he has to make those shots. Yes.
Got to make those. Well, one thing, when you see Matisse, man, please listen. All he has to do is turn his right foot in, pigeon-toed. He does not shoot with balance and low center of gravity. He's an arm shooter. If he turns his right foot in, that would give him the balance. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Is that pigeon toe, you turn that foot in, and that gives your whole body the balance and the alignment. And I guarantee he will become a better shooter. He's an arm shooter, and that's why he's 1 for 3, 1 for 5, 0 for 2, 0 for 3. He's not consistent because he's not getting the alignment from his feet all the way up to the core. He's an arm shooter. Please tell him to turn that right foot in. I know you see him at the gym, Devon.
I do see him at the gym. I'm sure that the coaching staff also tells him to do something, and it's just not, you know, clicking for him.
It's not registering something. I don't get it. Yeah, yo, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
God bless. Have a good night.
Same to you, Glenn. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. And 610-632-0975. As far as, you know, PJ Tucker goes, or the shooting, look, he's brought here for his defense, his leadership, championship pedigree. You do want him to make his shots. He has not gotten a lot of looks. Unfortunately, they don't go to him a lot. And tonight he did have 6 attempts, a couple of them in that spot that he normally makes them. He did not. So that's 4 consecutive games, I believe it is, of scoreless basketball for PJ Tucker. But we cannot ignore his impact. Cannot ignore his impact overall on the defensive end. 5 points in the last 6 games in 187 minutes, according to Tom Alvord, who's producing the show here with us tonight. And Tom, I mean, look, he's not brought in here for his points. You would like 5 points in each of those 6 games, right? Right? You want 5 points, 30 points in 6 games altogether. That part of his game is not looking good right now. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How are you? Big
busy,
win.
Busy night for you. Big win.
Yes. Yeah, big win. When it comes to PJ Tucker, we'll start with that. It's not great. 5 points in 187 minutes in his last 6 games. 0 points combined in his last 4 games. It's still very early. It is. And there's been a lot of in and outs of the lineup. Obviously, no Harden for a while. No Maxey. No Embiid now. Tobias was out. I think they're still building a little bit of a chemistry. I can't see him. I know he wasn't brought in for scoring. I can't see him putting up these offers for the rest of the season. I think he's just cold. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's moving to a new city with a new team. I don't know. I'm not too sure, but you said it. He's not brought in here to score points. And I'll be honest, I don't really care a ton what PJ Tucker does early in the regular season, He was brought here for playoff time. You hope he can build that chemistry, feel confident in his shot as the season goes along. He's brought in here for the defense, for the rebounding, for the intensity come playoff time. So I'm not going to harp too much on what PJ Tucker does in game, 17 of the regular season, especially after a win.
Huge win.
Huge win.
Huge win. What else stood out to you? Then we'll get back to the phone, 610-632-0975. What stood out to you?
Big little guy stepping up, quote unquote. D'Anthony Melton, I love that trade in the offseason. That was my favorite acquisition this past offseason that Daryl Morey brought in.
Same.
Just an awesome game. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 6-3, 6-for-11. You love to see that. Shake Milton out of nowhere, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Paul Reed, 19 points, 10 rebounds, a double-double. Furkan, who was buried in the bench, under the bench, 9 points. He gives you 2 threes. George Niang, who is great in the regular season. He fell off a little bit postseason last year.
He had a bad knee.
Yeah, and I think his legs got it. He was playing a ton of minutes. He was their 6th, 7th man for a majority of the season last year. 16 points for him, 4 threes. It wasn't a dominant win when you look at the box score.
No, it was the threes. It was the offensive rebounds. It was the lack of turnovers.
Just a good team win.
Good team win, man.
Right? Good team win. I think that's all. They get down, what, 10-2 early on? 12-4 early on, and you're expecting, uh-oh. All right, that was fun while it lasted. And they battled back. A good timeout by Doc early in the game. They battled back, and they took care of business. I think they were playing with a little bit of intensity, knowing that everyone was counting them out, the 76ers tonight, and Ben Simmons is the center of attention. They're out there now. Listen, we're still a good basketball team. We don't care who's out, who's missing. We can win a game any single night. That's what they did.
Team win, man.
Yes, sir.
Team win. They feel good, and maybe that carries over to the second one. Those things feel good. So we'll see what they do. 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight. Look at that. We're going commercial free for like long time as we get things started here on this Tuesday night. By the way, no show for me tomorrow. We will be having the Temple Coaches Show beginning at 6 o'clock. And then we go into Sixers basketball. So I will have the pregame coverage and the postgame coverage as part of the Sixers Radio Network. But no show tomorrow for me. I'll be back on Friday. Just a quick programming note. In 2 to 6 for the best show ever. Then we'll go draft lines from 6 to 7 and then Sixers and Magic. So a long day on Friday. Long day on Friday, but I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Tom Alvord will be there with me. So we got double duty. We got the 2 to 6 on Friday. Draft lines. Sixers basketball. We're basically going from 2 to 10. On Friday night.
Just another day in life.
Just
man.
Another day. Just another day. Let's go to Dallas. Check in with Chuck right here on 97.5 as he goes in the post. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Devon. What's up, man?
How you doing, man? Oh, Chuck. All right, Chuck, come back. We'll get you right back on.
I hit the wrong button.
That's all right. All good, man. We go to Chuck, get you right back on. You just call right back in. We'll get you up there. No problems. Party time. As soon as you get back in, we'll get you on the air. And then we'll talk about whatever you need to talk about with this win. And I know he wanted to talk about D'Anthony Melton. He wanted to talk about D'Anthony Melton, I believe, being a starter going forward. And if you're talking about that, that means P.J. Tucker is coming off the bench. Let's see if that's where Chuck was going with D'Anthony Melton remaining in the starting lineup when all the guys return. Chuck!
Yeah, man, I don't know what happened. We got
that was my fault. That was my fault.
It's all right. It's all right. So, yeah, good win, man. It's been an up and down season so far, but I'm watching this team. I don't know if you think the way I'm thinking, but I really think well, I'm not the coach. I'm not part of the coaching staff, but I think we need D'Anthony Melton on the starting lineup because what ends up happening is we have 4 offensive-minded folks, you know, guys on there, Embiid, Tobias, Maxey, and Harden. These are all offensive guys.
Yeah.
And we just keep missing that extra defender on the starting line.
Well, P.J. Tucker.
But
that's what he's here for. We're not talking. If you're not talking about points and you're just talking about defensively, that's what P.J. Tucker's in the starting lineup for.
Right, but in the playoffs where you're playing elite teams, one elite defender is not enough. Because Melton gives you such good 3-point shooting and he defends so well, sneaky well, and then when the bench comes in, we tend to lack some offense. Now, I know it's early in the year. I think that may be something worth looking into. Now, I don't know if Maxey will be willing to come off the bench, but I think it'll make the team more of a complete team. Now you got firepower off the bench with Niang and Maxey, and Maxey can still play with the starters and get his 35 minutes or whatnot. 40 minutes, but I think something about putting D'Anthony on the starting five could make a huge difference.
I understand your point. The Tyrese Maxey part, that's a no-go for me. He's a stay-away type. I understand your point of bringing somebody off the bench and allowing them to just go ahead and cook and score points like that, especially with the second unit, but he's a starter for a reason, too. Now, look, I don't think he would be upset about it. He would do anything he can to help the team out, Tyrese Maxey, but I think that's more of figuring out something else and leaving him alone And the idea of Melton is not a bad thing either as a starter, but he also helps you with your second unit when one of those two come off the floor.
That's true. I just worry that when Embiid is there, Harden is there. So, I mean, there's not enough balls to go around those four guys. I mean, look at it. Tobias can still give you 18, 19 a night if in the right situation, but he just doesn't touch the ball enough.
Yeah, and you can see that tonight, Chuck. Once he was able to touch the ball quite a bit tonight, he was in a, especially in the second half, he was in a really, really, really good groove.
Yep. Well, happy holidays to you guys, man.
Same to you, Chuck. Thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Yeah, I'm not, and me and Anthony talked about this last season when the trade went down with James Harden, Anthony Gargano, and one of the things that we talked about was where he kept saying that he would like to see, and again, it's not, the idea is not wrong, I'm just not doing it, which is bringing Tyrese Maxey off the bench. I get the spark that you're looking for off the bench for him, a 22, close to 23-point game scorer right now in the NBA in Tyrese Maxey. To get that off the bench would be tremendous. You just, you know, you hope that comes in the form of Jordan Clarkson or someone else like that, even though Clarkson is not going to be, they're going to re-sign him, especially the way that he's playing, unless they just get a crazy offer for a trade for him. He's going to stay in Utah, so we can forget about that. But I'm not bringing Tyrese Maxey off the bench. I'm just not. I get one here on the text board from John, my buddy. Johnny says, bring Tucker off the bench because his team is slow with him and Joel out there on the floor at the same time. I just don't see PJ Tucker coming off the bench. He didn't come here to come off the bench. That's all. Whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, he did not come here to come off the bench, so he's not going to come off the bench. He'll do whatever the team needs. I just don't think that he would be happy with that role.
If you take Tucker out of the starting lineup, who replaces him then? Are you just going small at that point?
You're probably just talking Melton, but you are smaller because Harris is your only guy with some,
so Melton's your
some
three.
Basketball size there at 6'9". Melton will just take on your best your best offensive player on that side, the opponent's best offensive player. You can't discount what PJ Tucker does, in my opinion, defensively. I'm just not. And I understand what John is talking about because they are slower. I'm not doing it. They have to figure that out, but I'm not doing it. I'm not sitting Maxey, and I'm also not looking to sit PJ Tucker either.
No, I think this team needs more games under their belt, the starting five when they're healthy, before you're making any, you know, insane decisions, irrational decisions, quote unquote, like that.
And he needs to make his shots.
He does.
Let's just call that for what it is. He needs to make his shots.
But if it gets bad and we're game 60 and it's starting to falter a little bit and it's just not working with the starting five, if everyone's healthy, and hopefully everyone's healthy, a move to Maxey to the bench is something I would consider. I doubt it happens. If it didn't happen last year, I doubt it happens this year, even though the team is deeper. I would consider it. I'd think about it if I was Doc. This team needs more games under their belt, healthy, before I'm making any kind of decision like that personally.
Yeah, yep. And I'm also looking at the fact that I don't think this is going to be their team completely when the trade deadline comes around. Something will happen. I'm not even saying a starter. I just mean a pickup. Whether it's moving, let's say, Daniel House and Furkan Korkmaz. Not that that's going to really get you anything. I'm just talking about improving the depth there where you have another wing that comes in and can give you something. Another wing that comes off the bench, and you, like Malik Beasley, comes in to the point of what Chuck was saying, Malik Beasley. Now, they'll keep Jordan Clarkson. Maybe they'll trade Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley signed a 4-year, $72 million deal, I think, 2 years ago. I guess that kicked in already, so he might have 2 or 3 years left on his deal. My point is, that type of player is what I'm talking about. He's not a defender, but he's a bucket. 610-632-0975. We go to Ramon in Uptown here on 97.5. What's up, Moan?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Long time no talk to you.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, likewise, man. Glad to be on here with you. Yeah, excellent win tonight. And I've been listening to other calls and kind of deviate from my point, but I'm with you. PJ Tucker is not going to come off the bench, but it's oddly enough, I gave him my tickets tonight, went to the last two games, and one of the things, man, my man was sitting there, and he just can't deal with the PJ Tucker thing, and I had to kind of bring him back, talk him off the ledge and say, listen, you got to understand this dude is what he is, what he's putting out there, you're not going to see it on the paper. There's a reason why our superstar said we need that kind of guy on our team. You can't discount what he brought, what he brings, as you mentioned, because look what he did to us in Miami. So I'm not really too much worried about you. He does need, he does need to make them shots.
And especially when we're talking about the playoffs and you know, fixing up. When you get to the playoffs, that's what he was brought here for.
That's what he was brought here for.
He has a championship.
He has that, and he has that tenacity. We got a pit bull on the squad, finally. We got a pit bull. And I think a lot of what he did, the hustle that we saw tonight out of that team, I think a lot of that had to do with I say the coaches, but then Tucker and I so much praise to our Tobias. Somewhere or another, they formed it, and they got their leadership, and they made that. What I saw out of that team tonight was a lot of hustle, man. A lot of times we never saw them. How many times last year we say, "Will somebody just die for the ball or hustle?"
PJ Tucker does that.
PJ Tucker does that, and then it was done tonight where they were hustling. Rebounding is a mentality and hustle, and they were hustling. Young boy was doing this thing, B-ball falling, and Tobias. So though he is where he's at right now, a lot of what we're going to see, he'll start making them in the edge. And we got to remember, too, we don't have our point guard out there. Harden played with this cat for, what, 4 or 5 years? So he knows it. His rhythm, they got that rhythm in that relationship. So TJ, if I'm not mistaken, he's about like a 34-35% three-point shooter. Mm. He's not Danny Green over there in the corner, but he's very capable of making that shot. And when it does fall, it'll bring out. We'll see the blossom of what he's bringing when we get to the postseason. And to the next, that's a collection of talent. I've been trying to tell people that. Talent don't win all the time. That's just a collection of talent. And you saw how they started unraveling. They became individuals. There was no team play, really. Everybody was kind of trying to get their own thing. That's not a team. And that boy, that Australian kid, they can praise him now. We've seen this movie. Wait till the postseason comes.
Yep.
And then holler at me about what he's bringing to the team. And I would say, real quick, Devon, I know you saw that game, South Carolina and Stanford, bro. I know you saw the women's.
I did not. I missed it. I looked at the box.
When I was saying, I know the box.
I did look at the box. I didn't have a chance to watch it, but I did look at the box. Great game.
Yeah, real rap. Truth be told, I was locked up on it. I was like, oh, man, it's the fourth quarter. So I forgot about it myself. Nonetheless, man, people check. Throw that love to the women's basketball, man. Some good
I try to tell people all the time. Check him out.
Listen to some good basketball.
Check him out. Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving, Mo.
Hey, family is divine. Your family be blessed, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. 47 points off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. 19 for Paul Reed, 16 for George Niang, 9 for Furkan Korkmaz. They came to play tonight. They came to play.
Did we see that once last year? 47 points off
47?
The bench?
47, yeah. I mean,
that's a lot, man. That's
a good number.
That is.
It's a good number. You're not going to get that every night, but that's a good number. You got three guys that really contributed off the bench in a big way, playing big minutes. 31 for Reed in minutes, 17 for Niang, 20 for Furkan Korkmaz. Hey, B, hang on, man. Want to give you all your time on the other side. We got to get to this break, all right? All right, Brian Plymouth Meeting is going to start us off on the other side. We'll get the leftovers from Tom Alvord at 11:45. Sixers win, big one, 115-106. We're in the post discussing it. How long did we go? About 45 minutes, commercial free. That's how you do it in the post.
Yeah, about 45.
You just give out work. Just give us the rock. Go to work in the post.
Sixers are working hard tonight.
In the post.
Might as well. We should as well.
Might as well, right? And then we're rewarded with some good food on Thursday. How about that?
Can't wait.
All right, let's go with Brian on the other side. Final segment in the post right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, final segment, 11:32, 97.5 The Fanatic in the post. Sixers win on this Tuesday night, 115-106. The work is not done. Second game of a back-to-back will be tomorrow night in Charlotte against the 4-14 Charlotte Hornets. So we'll see what they have in store on the second night of a back-to-back. Can they duplicate what they did this evening on the road against the lowly Charlotte Hornets, who are 4-14 again, losers of their last three. 1-6 they are at home, are the Charlotte Hornets. I don't know if LaMelo Ball is even, let me see. I think he was out because of a foot or ankle. Yeah, he did not play in their last game. Did not play in their last game. I know my man Dennis Smith Jr. is on the team, still getting some work. So that's a good thing. All right, let's go to Brian Plymouth meeting here next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Going in the post with Brian. What's up, B?
Yo, D. How's it going?
Going good, man. What's happening?
Very surprised about the outcome tonight. And
understood. not going to lie and say that I'm not either.
And to be honest, overall, I think it really says more about that circus over on the other side.
And guess what? That's their problem.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of thoughts about that side, but that's not what your show's about. I'm really super happy to see my boy D'Anthony, his shot coming back, because, I mean, I wasn't worried about it long-term, but he was definitely struggling with his shot.
Early on in the season, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look good the other night, but it certainly looked great tonight, and he was very much benefiting from... it seemed like Ben Simmons was trying to settle some old score with Shake. I have no idea what that could be about, but and you know, D'Anthony was open as a benefit of that. So,
yep,
and he took advantage of it, and that's good to see. I've got no problem with moving him into the starting lineup. I mean, Maxey, I don't see that as an option.
The only lineup either. Change would be Tucker. That would be it.
Or Toby. I mean, like, if basically by that guy's logic, use Toby as your kind of bench scoring shot in the arm.
I think they would do that simply because Doc Rivers has already talked about him sacrificing so much. They're not going to ask him to do that further.
I mean, you were talking about PJ Tucker. I mean, I thought he came here to win in the playoffs. And very so... true. You know, to me, older guy, limit his minutes. And I don't know.
I wonder if he's played as many minutes also because guys have been out.
No, it seems like he's just kind of plugged in the starting lineup.
No, I mean as far as the minutes go. Because when we came in, we were like, all right, yeah, 25 minutes max. And he's playing 30 and 32 and 34. And you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and it's funny.
I am only saying that because there have been so many guys in and out of the lineup that he has had to play these big number of minutes.
I mean, that's possible. But it seemed like he was doing that. That was what the score was early. I mean, to me, I've said this to you before. I mean, playing him and Niang at the same time is absolute madness. Playing all three, I mean, they're essentially, you know, we were talking a few years back about positionless basketball. Well, we're very much back to position basketball. And all three of these guys are simply power forwards. And you just can't survive with them defending. And then Harden defensively is a power forward. And Maxey is not a good defender. So, I mean, you're just really, it's really tough. But, I mean, but when the game slows down in the playoffs, you want to have Tucker, especially if he can knock down. All he's got to do is knock down the corner three.
That's it.
Now, and it's funny, the guy who was talking about him, even before he was wondering what his career 3-point shooting stats were, I looked them up because I was actually under the impression that he had shot very poorly in the playoffs two straight years. But it was just the Bucks season. He was horrible.
And they started him in the, because at first when he got to Milwaukee, if you you remember, with the I think it was a trade, not a waiver pickup.
Yeah, well, he was basically, Houston held on to him for as long as possible.
He came off the bench at the very beginning, and then when they got to the postseason, that's when they inserted him to the starting lineup, and I think they even adjusted it by series.
Well, I mean, by the middle of that Nets series, I mean, they had a 6-man rotation. He was out there all the time, but the other team was just not guarding him because he couldn't hit the shot. Now, but that's really what it comes down to. It's not about him pouring in points from there, but it's about having the defense actually respect him.
100%.
And, you know, and I was kind of thinking I don't know, we'll see how it goes, but I mean, his numbers with the Heat last year were good, which I did not realize. So, I mean, I would be better with him taking every other game off, playing 20 minutes a game, and taking 500 corner threes from each side to keep fit. And because you know he'll be there in the playoffs. He knows what to do. But, you know, it's easy for me to say as an observer. These guys get to where they are because they're highly competitive. They want to be out there and play. I get it.
Yeah. Also, there was a little move in the Sixers roster stuff there, construction. They are moving on from waiving Michael Foster Jr. and picking up guard Sabin Lee.
I would be lying if I
on a two-way contract.
I don't know who either of those guys are. I got to be honest.
Oh, all right.
I don't watch enough college hoops to, but. You know, and the one other thing, Devon, like we talked about Toby, he just doesn't fit with Harden. So it might be best for everybody if he could build some value. I mean, he's got value. He's still young. You move him to another team where he fits, where you trade his bird rights to that other team. They're not going to give him a max contract, but he can get a real nice contract from a team that's, you know, up against the cap, but you trade the bird rights there. And, you know, it might be best for everybody to explore that possibility because it just doesn't fit. I like the guy. I wish he, you know, was as assertive as he was tonight in a lot of spots where we needed him to be assertive in the past. But that is what it is.
Yeah. Real fast, do you remember the football player Amp Lee?
Yeah. I hate Florida State, so that my...
Well, just because, as you said, you don't watch as much college basketball, that's his son.
Oh, really? Okay.
Saban Lee is his son.
He was a football player, right?
Yeah.
Like a running back?
Yep. Amp Lee, yep. Florida State, yep.
Hey, the best of luck. We need as much talent as possible here.
Yeah, he was with Detroit the last two seasons, so we'll see how he does here. Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, DeMar.
Thank you, man. I'll talk to you soon. You got it. Appreciate it. Yeah, so it looks like, according to Tim Bontemps of ESPN, and Keith Pompey confirms it, the Sixers are signing Amp Lee to, I mean, his dad. No, his dad's not playing. Sabin Lee.
50-year-old dude out there? Listen, I know we need guys, but come on now, man.
To a two-way contract, and Michael Foster and Julian Champagne are your two-way guys. So, with this move, Champagne will remain a two-way. Sabin Lee as a guard will now be a part of your two-way. And according to Keith, they hope to have Foster clear waivers so he can stay with the Blue Coats. And with that, they still have one open roster spot. So there's that.
I'm much like Brian, not familiar with Lee. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he did play the last two seasons with the Pistons.
I wasn't watching much Pistons basketball.
I know. It's weird because he wore number 38. And I used to be like, I don't get the significance.
Yeah, I don't like that number.
Yeah, it's just a weird number. But he played for Detroit. He went to Vanderbilt and played for Detroit these last couple of seasons, 20 and 21. Played 48 games in 20, 37 and 21. Averaged 5.6 points in both seasons. So that's his career average right now. Shooting 26% from three. That's not ideal. But,
no,
you know.
Not at all.
6'2 point guard. Who knows? You know, maybe come up one day and just some good backup minutes on a two-way deal.
They obviously like something, so they know.
They're trying to see.
They know, yeah, exactly.
They're trying to see and maybe even develop them a little bit more as a three-point shooter and go from there. So, yeah, man, but look, good win tonight. We're not overreacting and saying they won a championship. It's game number 17, but they need all the wins that they can get. They are one game over 500, 17 games in. Well, we expected them to be way, way further ahead when we're talking, let's say, 12-5. That's the type of start I thought the 76ers would have. They do not. They have not. And they need all of these types of wins. And they're doing so right now shorthanded without 77 points of your starting lineup. And Embiid, Harden, and Maxey on the bench in street clothes. Tobias Harris comes off of two games missed with a left hip soreness. Is able to come in and, you know, come in and give them a really good game tonight with 24 points. 24 points. So I thought he was really good. Paul Reed was tremendous. De'Anthony Melton, as Brian talked about, was fantastic. Shake Milton played really well. 16, you know, the 16 points steady tonight for the Sixers was Shake Milton. Thought he was steady. Well-coached game from Doc Rivers. I like his lineups. He really went with three guys off the bench. Mixed in House for 9 minutes, Thibault for three, and then Champagne and Foster get in late. But Montrez also, 15 minutes. Didn't play much. He didn't play much. But the 15 minutes he got 11 in the first half, 12 in the first half. So this was a good win, man. It's a really good win. Ben Simmons comes back. He said, quote, after the game, as far as the crowd and the reaction, I thought it would be louder.
All right, dude. Good for you. Sorry, 3/5 of our starters aren't out there, and we're not as amped up for this game because we're thinking we're gonna lose going into this. If just Embiid's on the court, forget Maxey and forget Harden. If just Embiid's out there tonight, that is a completely different atmosphere. I just don't think it had the same juice going into it.
No,
and the fans knew that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, it's hard to get up for a game when you have, like I said, 3/5 of your starters missing and 77 points of your starting rotation. So, yeah, we'll see come playoff time how it is here, buddy. We'll see. Keep talking.
Forget about playoff time. I mean, just look at the next time they play.
If they get there. Well, yeah, that too.
Here. The next time that they play here, I'm just trying to look, is Wednesday, January 25th. Also, nationally televised game.
It's a good move by the NBA. Every game should be nationally televised. Ben Simmons versus the Sixers.
Yeah.
That's their last home game against them?
Yeah. Because they have two more roads. So the second 25th. Road will be February 11th on a Saturday, NBA TV, nationally televised game. And then the final game of the season is 1 o'clock at Brooklyn. The playoffs will probably be situated at that point.
Just keep talking. Keep winning us chicken. That's all I'm worried about, bro.
Got some chicken from him tonight. Giannis gave you a whole party tray with all the misses that he gave you in the second half. All good. Bricking for chicken. All right, let's go. It's 11:45. Time to get to our leftovers. We were heavy basketball tonight. What did we miss?
Yes, so we are going to start in the NFL and specifically at the running back position. A very odd day for running backs around the NFL. Big name running backs, especially if you play fantasy football, which I'm sure 90% of people out there do. We'll start with the Rams. They waive veteran Daryl Henderson.
That's surprising.
Very surprising. In the middle of his fourth season, obviously Cam Akers had wanted out for forever. He was not wanting to, wasn't playing games this
year. Like three games, he's out.
And then his buddy, his running back mate, gets cut instead of him. So, you know, he can't be happy about that.
No, Sony Michel's not even on that team.
No, he's with the Chargers, I believe.
He's with the Chargers, so who's their backs?
I have it right here, Kyren Williams.
I don't know him.
He's rookie. So, 25-year-old Henderson. He played just 6% of the Rams' Week 11 loss to the Saints snaps. Kyren Williams is a rookie, played 55%. Cam Akers played 39%. Henderson spent his entire career with the Rams up until this point. They drafted him third overall in the third round, 70th overall. It wasn't the third pick overall. 70th overall in the third round of the 2019 NFL draft out of Memphis. Started 28 out of 50 regular season games. Totaled 2,216 yards and 17 touchdowns, was part of that Super Bowl winning team last year. Also, Melvin Gordon, who was released yesterday by the Broncos.
Yeah.
Fumbling problem, I believe 6 fumbles on the year already is what it is. He was not claimed on waivers and is now a free agent. The Rams 3-7, third worst in the NFC. So obviously, they're just not the season they were expecting. So you have two really bad teams that were expecting to have high expectations coming in, releasing two big names at the running back position. Either of those guys interest you with Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott not really giving you a ton so far this season.
Even with the fumbling injuries, and I know it's name value, so people might say, Devon, it's just the name, Melvin Gordon, all that. I would look at Melvin Gordon. We talked about him, myself, you, Tyler Zuli, at the trade deadline when they were having their struggles. And, of course, Javonte Williams before, I think he was still healthy. No, I don't know. But Melvin Gordon was a name that we talked about for good reason. He's a good back still.
He was looking for a big contract with the Chargers a couple of years ago.
Now, look, it's his fault he turned it down. And then all of a sudden he allowed Austin Eckler to turn into Austin Eckler because he gave him that time to do so. I would look at Melvin Gordon. Yes, I would.
Gordon worries me because of the fumbling. Like I'd rather have an issue with drops, honestly. But fumbles, especially if you're getting goal line carries, which he could potentially be getting because he's a bigger back, that worries me, especially down the stretch come playoff time. I actually like Henderson a little bit more.
Do you?
Yeah, just because he was pretty good last
goal
year.
Goal line situation?
He's still pretty young. I don't believe he has a fumbling issue, especially not as bad as Gordon. So I'm sure Howie will kick the tires. Who knows if either of them come in. I wouldn't hate either of them because either would be an upgrade over a guy like Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott.
Same reason you would ask for Darrell Henderson is the same reason you would sign Melvin Gordon.
Just an upgrade.
Just an upgrade.
Yeah,
just absolutely. An extra back that you feel like you can count on, fumbling aside, mm-hmm. in some big spots. And I brought this up to Adam Kaplan on Inside the Birds, and he said the one thing, he brought up the fumbling, obviously, he said the one thing that he would trust with the Eagles is their running back coach is really good.
Yeah, okay, and maybe playing.
Remember
with
when Miles Sanders had those issues?
Yeah,
doesn't absolutely. Have those issues.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, actually, because he has not fumbled at, I don't believe at all this season. I don't think he has one, and that was an issue, obviously, with the health, and he had some drop issues, but the biggest thing with Sanders was the fumbles, and he hasn't had that. And maybe Gordon's playing with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Hey, this could be your last chance in the NFL. So
yeah. You're not going to get a big contract off of the Eagles and Broncos season.
Nope.
So just come in, win, and see where things lay out for you next season. And by the way, Miles Sanders is a free agent.
Yes, he is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So Howie's got some work to do. World Cup, quickly. A couple games today. Denmark and Tunisia. Yes, Tunisia. 0-0 tie full-time. Mexican-Poland, 0-0 tie full-time. France beats Australia 4-1. The big one, Saudi Arabia beats Argentina, breaking a 36-game match streak, which they won opening games in the World Cup. Argentina was a minus 1,000 favorite to win in full time. That made Saudi Arabia, a plus 2,700 to win in full time, which they did. $10 would have racked you up $270. We thought the USA draw was bad. Argentina.
Yeah.
I know, Messi. What's going on, my guy?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He's not getting it done. He's not getting it done. Big stage. Too much for him. Big stage.
Too much.
Big stage.
Crazy. And last one for you. This day, 27 years ago today.
Oh, I love these.
Toy Story was released in theaters. One of my favorite movies growing up. So I ask you, Devon.
27 years?
27 years today. Best of the Toy Stories, 1-4. And if you can, and I'm putting you on the spot, top three kids animated movies of all time. What you got for me? You don't have to answer that one because I know I'm putting you on the spot. But
best Toy
Story.
Some
of your favorites, at least.
My favorite was 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to argue.
My favorite is 1.
Classic.
2 is pretty good.
3 is pretty good, too.
3 is pretty good.
4 was okay.
4 was all right.
Yeah.
4 was all right.
Not in the same tier as
no,
3.
No, but I would say 1 is my favorite.
Okay, that's fair.
You, 1? Or you go 2 or 3?
Man, 3 hit me because 3 came out like, 1 came out when I was a kid, 3 came out like when I was in college, and that's what that movie was about. So that hit me in the feels watching it with my parents, you know, when that was happening, but all really good. Probably number 1 absolute classic. But yeah, 27 years ago today, Toy Story hits theaters, and those are tonight's leftovers.
Yeah, it is. The leftovers for tonight, Tom Outboard. Thank you so much, man. Marty Dickerson doesn't stop. Hits me up during the game. I mean, during this final segment. 25-17 from Paul Reed and Montrezl Harrell combined in place of Joel Embiid.
Take that.
As he says, nice. It's good production.
Short and sweet. Nice.
Good production.
Yes, it is.
From.
Let's keep it up.
The backup 5 men. See what you can do tomorrow. against the Charlotte Hornets. Maybe Montrez goes for 20 against his former club for not bringing him back. We shall see. Tom Alvord, thanks, man. Ray Dunn, great job. All the callers, listeners, tweeters, thank you so much. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you on Friday. Tom and I will together on the best show ever from 2 to 6. So be safe tonight. Enjoy your Wednesday and your Thursday. We'll talk to you Friday. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.